And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And Donald on television this morning said, gosh, he thought that men should be able to go into the girls' bathroom if they want to. Now, let me ask you, have we gone stark raving nuts? The political correctness. This is basic common sense. I'm the father of two little girls. Here is basic common sense. Grown adult men, strangers, should not be alone in a bathroom with little girls.
Cruz slams Trump over transgender bathroom law opposition. I agree with Cruz 100%. On this issue, Cruz is 100% correct. On this issue, Trump is 100% incorrect. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Because earlier today, Trump came out and said that North Carolina should not have passed the law directing so-called, should not have passed the law directing transgender people to use the bathroom that matches the gender on their birth certificate. Trump is 100% wrong. Cruz supports the North Carolina measure, as I have and as I do. And I ask you what you think about this. Which side of this are you on? I mean, you may be a Trump supporter and say he made a mistake. People do make mistakes. I agree with Ted Cruz on this issue. Well, how hard is it to figure that one out? I've supported this law before. I've argued in favor of this law before. Because we all know that there are people who fake being transgender just to become and to get into a bathroom of the opposite sex. That's a given. Ask the cops about it. But no, I don't think you get it yet. Now let's listen to Donald Trump on a morning show supporting permitting grown men to go into girls' bathrooms. This is completely crazy and wrong. Listen.
There have been very few complaints the way it is. People go, they use the bathroom that they feel is appropriate. There has been so little trouble, and the problem with what happened in North Carolina is the strife and the economic punishment that they're taking.
They use the bathroom that they feel is appropriate. Totally wrong, 100% wrong. Trump is 100% wrong on this. He didn't think this through. This will offend all traditionalists in the United States of America. This will offend all people who have any sense of reality left in their head. And he's wrong. It's that simple. That doesn't mean that I've shifted allegiances to Cruz. I haven't. But on this issue, Cruz is correct. That's the beauty of a primary campaign, is that we get to hear all sides of an opinion. Do you expect every opinion of your candidate to be one you agree with? If so, I think that you really ought to reevaluate your candidate and your positions. Because no candidate, going back to something I've said for months now, no candidate is going to give us 100% of what we want. Ever. Never. That goes for those of you who support Cruz. That goes for those of you who support Trump. I have told you that Trump will give us 60% of what we want. But we're liable to get 100% of what we want on the big issues like rebuilding the Defense Department, restricting the amount of money going to these corrupt green energy companies, controlling HHS's budget, building the wall with Mexico. Now, if Trump becomes president and doesn't build the wall, you'll know it's all over. This was his signature promise. We have to accept him on his word. And if he doesn't build the wall, what are you going to do about it then? I'm going to say we have, what, another Obama in office? They're all liars. It could happen. I'm a realist. It could happen. Given the world we live in, anything is possible. Do you expect anything from a politician? Trump is 100% wrong on this. Cruz is 100% right on it. That's topic number one. But a much bigger issue than where a transgender goes to the bathroom is the level of corruption coming out of the Obama White House on every level possible, and how he gets away with it is astonishing to me. But then when you own Jake Tapper and Woody Woodpecker Blitzer and the others, there is no emphasis on reality in the media, which is why they're hated by everybody in the country. I woke up this morning and I saw that one of the most gigantic solar power companies declared bankruptcy. It's called Sun Edison. And I said, oh, I can't believe my eyes. Two big White House green cronies unite. First Wind scored over $700 million of stimulus funds, now being acquired by Sun Edison. That's an old story that I put on my website from January 2015, from one of the best websites around called The Green Corruption. But it just got so much worse today that you ought to almost put your head in your hands and cry how they don't go to jail. But then you understand that Obama is the most criminal man in the history of the presidency. He is the man behind it all. And I'm going to prove it to you. I don't mean the money goes in his hands. He doesn't need the money. All of his supporters, his bundlers, his cronies, the entire Democrat machine is living off stolen green energy money. And the article that you have to read is the one on my website, because you're going to read that, okay, yeah, that one went bankrupt. What else is new? Well, no, no, that's not the end of the story. That's the beginning of the story. Because if you read this article, you'll find out who runs Sun Edison. Your hair will stand up. And it's all in this article. I'll read you some of the names. I'll read you some of the names, because the number of green energy bankruptcies and failures is now astonishingly near the $100 billion mark. Where do you think that money went? Take a look at the mansions on Pacific Heights. Take a look at the mansions in Palm Beach. Take a look at the condos being bought in Miami on the front companies. Take a look at the condominiums in Manhattan being bought by front companies. And you'll find out where the green gangsters are putting their money. They're not coming from South America. They don't have to come from South America. So who are these corrupt green cronies? Well, those with access and influence to Barack Obama. If you read this article, there is D.E. Shaw and Company. And who was that? Larry Summers. Remember the name? Madison Dearborn Partners and Rahm Emanuel. Oh, Rahm Emanuel? As well as Larry Rasky and Vice President Joe Biden. Did you know that Joe Biden had his fingers in this? Sun Edison is tied to Tony Podesta and other high-powered lobbyists. What does this mean to you? What they write is this. What is key here is that American taxpayers have been propping up First Wind since 09, which was their plan all along. Secure taxpayer money and then go public. This included a Department of Energy stimulus loan worth $117 million, buys a lot of furniture on Pacific Heights, as well as over $661 million of free taxpayer cash from the 1603 grant program, buys a lot of condominiums in Miami. And if you are actually interested in the corruption going all the way back to the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, if you are interested in the corruption amongst the green gangsters, I direct you to the top of the MichaelSavage.com website so you can study for yourself the names of the criminals involved in the green gangs. I have called them green gangsters from the beginning. But if we had a president who was straight, this wouldn't be happening. But because we have a twisted, corrupt president, you have the cronies who put him in power cashing in like you could never believe before. You'll look into Big Wind. You'll see about the bankruptcies. You'll see the people's names. And they write this. Also consider the words of Obama's buddy, billionaire Warren Buffet, last year. And he said this. I will do anything that is basically covered by the law to reduce Berkshire's tax rate. For example, on wind energy, we get a tax credit if we build a lot of wind farms. That's the only reason to build them. They don't make sense without the tax credit. Now, the wind farms, as you know, are killing endangered bird species. Yes, we talked about animals yesterday. Millions of them are being killed by these windmills. But what's the difference? If you say you're for animals, that's what matters, right? Well, you'll see about the $117 million loan guarantee that helped build in Hawaii on the island of Oahu, the Kahuku Wind Power Project. You'll find out who the people are who cashed in on the Kahuku Wind Power Project. You'll see about the Kaiwa'olaf Wind. You'll see who are the people behind that. You'll see who's behind Stetson Wind, the Bull Hill Wind Power, the Cohocton Wind Power. You'll see who's behind the Milford Wind Power, Sheffield Wind, Palouse Wind. My friends, you will see the other names. Rollins Wind Farm in Maine, $53 million grants from the federal program. Dutch Hill Wind Farm in New York, $22 million scammed out of the federal program. Steel Winds 2 Wind Farm in New York, $12 million scammed from federal tax funds. That's just the beginning. Who are the First Wind political cronies? Larry Summers, remember him? I think some of you know who Larry Summers is. Well, you can look it all up for yourself, and you will see what we're talking about. And you will see that the Obama White House has been infiltrated by the green gangsters in a way you could never, ever imagine. By the way, old Larry Summers is also a distinguished senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, a progressive gang group, which is the dark driving force behind the president's massive scam, the green energy scam. It's all in this article. You can't omit it. I don't care whether you're for Bernie or you're for Trump. These people need to be called before a congressional hearing, and they need to be found out, and they need to be tried, and the money needs to be recovered, period. You think it'll ever happen? I doubt it. Peter Schweizer, in his 2011 bombshell book, Throw Them All Out, talked all about the Wynn scams, the Sun scams, and today it's come home to roost. Why do I say today it's come home to roost? Because one of the biggest ones of them, one of them filed for bankruptcy. And the name of the company that you shouldn't forget is Sun Edison. It filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy just today. But the bottom line of that story is that this company recently had a market value at nearly $10 billion. That was in July. Solar energy company Sun Edison Inc. on Thursday said it filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, a dramatic move for a company whose market value stood at nearly $10 billion in July. They had borrowed heavily to buy up wind and solar developers, again, smaller companies owned by cronies of Obama, and then they accumulated a pile of debt, and now they just declared that they went bankrupt. This is 2008 all over again. But instead of the real estate bubble collapsing, it's the green gangsters collapsing their bubbles, which will have an effect upon all of us as sure as I'm sitting here. Now let's go back to the predators in the bathrooms, which you probably forgot by now. So let's start again with Ted Cruz on the transgender bathroom issue on the Savage Nation.
And Donald on television this morning said, gosh, he thought that men should be able to go into the girls' bathroom if they want to. Now, let me ask you, have we gone stark raving nuts? The political correctness. This is basic common sense. I'm the father of two little girls. Here is basic common sense. Grown adult men, strangers, should not be alone in a bathroom with little girls.
I agree with Cruz on this transgender bathroom issue 100%. I am consistent in my support of the North Carolina law, and Trump is 100% wrong in what he said this morning. It's that simple. What do you think about this? How do you feel about this? Eddie, WJR, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. Thanks for having me on. Well, I want to say that on the fundamental issue of, you know, transgender people in bathrooms, I guess I sort of agree with you, but, you know, in my opinion, it goes a little bit further than this. I think that as citizens of the United States of America, you know, we have certain liberties given to us, and I don't really think it's the job of the government to place laws or, you know, enacting legislation that infringes on, you know, our liberties.
So there should be no limit to a person's liberties. Is that what you're saying?
No, not necessarily.
Well, you just said that. You said there should be no law limiting our liberties. That's what you just said. So should a grown man be able to date an 8-year-old girl as they do in Sharia law countries?
Absolutely not.
Well, okay, so you just said there should be a law in that case. There's somehow you have to interfere with someone's liberties, don't you, at some point? So you say, no, you can't date 8-year-old girls. We don't live in Saudi Arabia. So you say there should be laws. So what is wrong with a law that says a man could say whatever sex he wants? Doesn't matter. If he's born a man, he's going to go in a man's bathroom to protect the sanctity of little girls or of women who don't want men dressed up as women in their bathroom. Tell me what is wrong with that law.
You
haven't thought it through. You're just mouthing what you learned in college. That's the sad part. It's that simple. How do you feel about this? It's a big issue. It's a social issue. It's for social. People who are interested in social conservatism have to pay attention to this. If Donald Trump really believes that it's okay for this law to be thrown out, he's 100% wrong, and it's going to cost him very dearly in the future primaries, in my opinion, among social conservatives. And I want to tell you something that's very important for you to know. Just because I agree with Ted Cruz on this and disagree with Donald Trump on this means very little in terms of my overall support for Donald Trump in the overall picture of things. But I'm not going to sit here and say that anything Donald Trump says or does is God speaking. And something about that should transmit itself to you Cruz supporters. Do you think everything that Cruz stands for is excellent? If so, reevaluate that. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
There have been very few complaints the way it is. People go, they use the bathroom that they feel is appropriate. There has been so little trouble. And the problem with what happened in North Carolina is the strife and the economic punishment that they're taking.
Well, that's not the soundbite I asked for, but I accept what I can get. That's not really what I wanted. But what we wanted was Trump opposing bathroom bills, meaning that if a guy claims he's a woman and puts on a garter belt, stockings, and a dress, he can go into a woman's room and look at the women. And if anyone wants to throw him out, he can then sue you for discrimination. That's what Trump just said. He's 100% wrong, and he should have known better, and he made a mistake. And he should retract it and say that I've thought about it, and I certainly support the sanctity of little children in restrooms, and I don't want people of the opposite sex going in there, no. And the state was 100% right, because it's a socially conservative state, to pass a law to protect their children. That would have been a correct statement to make. But he didn't think it through, and he's wrong. And I agree with Cruz on this one. What do you think about this? WNBU in North Carolina itself. Tom, go ahead, please. What's your position on the bathroom bill in your state?
I support the bill, and I'm also afraid it's going to get repealed because, like what Trump just said, the economic pressure. But I have 10 years of experience to prove the can of worms is going to open up. A lot of people that aren't sure about it, like the previous caller, they don't know how sick people really are.
Wait, are you an officer of the law?
I'm retired. I'm an instructor now. My last 3 years of service was a homicide detective, and I also worked...
All right, so tell us what kind of cases you're talking about of people faking their sexuality or their gender, whatever you want to call it, in order to get into the opposite sex bathroom. Tell us what you see going on.
Multiple reports, sir, but none of them are verified because it happened so quickly and nobody was expecting it. But now that it's allowed, it's going to open up the door, and I'd like to throw a scenario at you if you don't mind, Michael.
Hold on. I'm going to keep you on till after the break. You're an officer of the law retired in North Carolina where a bathroom bill was passed.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We are, sadly, arguing over the bathroom law issue in North Carolina. I say sadly because the world is melting down. Billions are being stolen by green gangsters who are laughing all the way to their Miami bank and back again while we're focusing on this crap. But this is what happens when you have a radical leftist administration, rebranding currency, anything he can do to distract us from the thievery. You don't understand something. This whole thing about Harriet this and that and who should put on a dollar. It's to make us argue so the green gangsters continue to rob us blind. Amongst other things, by the way. But we're arguing specifically over a socially conservative issue, which is the bathroom law. Ted Cruz today blasted Trump for opposing North Carolina's new bathroom law. And I agree with Ted Cruz on this issue 100%. And I disagree with Donald Trump 100% on this one. I, though, being the Solomon of talk radio, have a solution that requires almost no construction costs. Being the Solomon of talk radio, I'm using my Aristotelian logic to come up with a solution that requires almost no construction costs. Only new signage would be required. Because if you break this argument down, it's not really about which bathroom a transgender might go in and take advantage of children. Of the opposite sex. It's about taking advantage of children. Isn't it about children that we're arguing? Isn't it about children? Mr. Schilling was fired today at ESPN because he said something about transgender things. And he said the rather obvious point is that we shouldn't allow grown adult men, strangers, alone in the bathroom with little girls. That's a point anyone who's rational should understand. So Cruz said that, and I agree with him. So it's really about the children, is it not? So my Solomon-esque solution is this. Requires no construction costs, only new signage. Every facility that you go into, any restaurant, has a men's room and a woman's room. Is that correct? Yes. By law. I would convert all men's rooms into unisex for adults only. And I would then re-sign all women's rooms into children only. whatever the age may be, 18 and younger only. The children will go into one room, the adults will go into the other, and it's a unisex bathroom. That's the end of the story. There are unisex bathrooms, for example, I think in Japan, wherever I've gone, there's unisex bathrooms. So you don't have to now have a fight over this. Everyone wins. My solution requires no contractor costs, only new signage. Convert all men's rooms into unisex for adults, and re-sign all women's rooms into children only. What's wrong with my idea? Now let's go back to WBNU North Carolina. Tom, you're a cop. Tell us what's been going on in the past with people claiming to be the opposite sex.
All right. Well, we had one incident in 2009, for example, where we were actually doing an undercover detail in the mall parking lot to make sure it was Christmas time, make sure nobody got robbed walking out with their presents.
Mm-hmm.
We got a call from the bathroom that a guy came in there dressed like a girl. The woman that was in there flipped out. We went in there. She pointed out where he was. He took off with a bag. And the only thing disturbed in there or missing was in this particular stall, the way it was laid out, was that there was a special container for feminine napkins, and he took all of those. I mean, come on. There's sick people out there that's going to open a can of worms. That's why I wanted to ask you a question about it, Mike.
Okay, so what's the question?
All right. You're in a busy mall with your wife. She's got to go to the bathroom, so you take her there. You walk her there. And you see a guy that comes and looks like me. I'm 6'4", 240 pounds with a beard now. Of course, then I was clean shaven. And a guy like me walks by you and goes right in there, right behind your wife. Or even say he walks in there in haste because maybe he's got diarrhea. What do you do? I'm going in. What do you do, Michael?
No, I'm not going to let her stay in there alone with a guy right behind her. No, absolutely not.
God bless you, Mr. Savage.
I'm not going to just stand there like a moron. I know what he's in there for. He could have gone into the men's room, couldn't he?
No, exactly right. But at 12 o'clock, though, that previous day, he decided he was a girl. And say my wife is incredibly attractive. So, boom, he takes that opportunity. You with me?
No, I hear you. This is a huge social issue. And Donald Trump, in my opinion, didn't think it through, and he made a huge blunder today. And Ted Cruz was 100% correct on this issue. I don't think that we have to now yell and scream at each other over this and now say, aha, you've come around to my side, you see, Cruz is the genius. That's not what I said. I still think Trump is more electable than Cruz, and I also think that Trump is wrong on this issue. They're not mutually exclusive. But, Tom, being a cop in North Carolina, what do you think of my Solomon-esque solution to this national riddle, which is convert all men's rooms into unisex for adults and re-sign all women's rooms into children only? You would disagree with that because you're saying that a guy 6'4", 240 pounds with a beard could go into the room and say, well, what's the problem with it? Isn't that what you're arguing?
Well, yeah, but just give them their own bathroom then.
Well, that's going to require a criminal amount of money that will bankrupt most small businesses to build a third bathroom. I know local Chinese restaurants here in San Francisco, small mom-and-pop restaurants that were held up by lawyers who were pushing the Americans with Disability Act down their throat years ago, making them build ramps and whatnot. And they said no one ever complained, but there was one lawyer who went around to every small business in the San Francisco area and sued every restaurant he could get his hands on under the old ADA law. Can you imagine what's going to happen here if they're required to build a third bathroom in every little mom-and-pa restaurant? They won't be able to do it.
You're right, because the ramps were never used and these bathrooms won't be used. It's such a minute part of the population, it's ridiculous, and they're shoving it down.
There we go again. There we go again. It's the tyranny of the minority. That is what we're really talking about, and that's what society is screaming about. I thought that this was a nation where majority ruled. I thought this was a nation that lived by majority rule. Isn't that what the popular vote is about? When you pass a ballot initiative, isn't that by popular vote? What, you got six cranks who come along and say, I don't care what the popular vote is, I want it another way, and so you're supposed to cater to the tyranny of the minority? This whole issue is about the tyranny of the minority all over again. My friend, I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero because I have an entire chapter called Zero Morality. I think you'll find it very intriguing. 855-407-2282. Let's go to San Francisco. Gary, line one. KSFO, what's on your mind?
Oh, my God. I don't think you thought this one out all the way. What are we doing? We're talking about transgenders, not thugs or creeps that go into their restroom, or pedophiles, criminals that go in to abuse someone. We're talking about...
No, wait. Well, we're just saying that people who are abusive and our predators could use the pretext of being transgendered to abuse people, couldn't they? That's what we're saying here.
You're saying Caitlyn Jenner's a pedophile.
When did I say that?
Well, you're assuming that all transgender...
No, I didn't assume that either. You're putting words in my mouth to make a political point. I never said that. But we all know that there are people who will use the law to their advantage, as Obama's green gangsters do. They use the guise of being good for the environment, and they're stealing billions. So there are people who are perverts who are going to use the transgender law in order to get into the opposite sex bathroom and do things that they shouldn't be doing.
What about a person that's a woman that goes into a bathroom and robs another woman?
In other words, you want to make more problems rather than fewer problems.
No, I want to say that 1% of the innocent population that passes themselves off as the opposite sex and goes into a stall and does their business and leaves, who cares?
Okay, but what about the 1% of that 1% population that is not really transgendered, who will simply dress in the opposite sex's outfit to get into the opposite sex's bathroom?
The exception makes the rule.
I don't know what you just said. What do you mean, except? So you don't care, in other words, about the deviants who will use that law to violate women's privacy.
What do you want a little policeman inside every toilet to check your...
No, I want toilets to be consigned to the sex that they were consigned to. Why did we originally design toilets, one for women and one for men? What was the reason for that?
Comfort.
No, it wasn't comfort. It was so that women wouldn't have men gaping at them in the bathroom. It was to protect women, not to protect men. Wasn't it to protect women from men who would go in there and look at them while they were using the toilet?
Well, why not have a policeman in the bathroom?
That might be a good idea, but I don't think that's going to happen. We don't need a policeman. We need common sense, which has gone out the window in the America under Barack Hussein Obama. Obama specializes in turning people against each other and causing social upheaval in order to permit his green gangsters and others to rob the treasury blind. We're arguing over this instead of the bankruptcy of that solar company I talked about and who made the billions of dollars. Don't you think that's an important story?
I am supporting Trump, and I think that what he said, I don't have a problem with what his answer was. I think
the problem here is that people don't think at all. And people like Gary are not thinking, and you're going to get the same on the Cruz side. I see it with the hatred from the Cruz bots for anyone who supports Trump. I see the hatred coming from the Trump bots against anyone who supports Cruz. It's not the answer to the problem. The answer is to think these issues through. And again, I will throw out my Solomon-esque solution to this social issue. Requires no contracting costs, only new signage. Convert all men's rooms into unisex for adults. That may create problems, it may not. But you're going to protect your children. And this argument now is coming down to children, little girls, right? And so, convert all women's rooms into children only. What is wrong with my idea? Is there anyone who sees my idea as irrational? I think it's Solomon-esque. 855-400-7282, John on WJR Line 4, go ahead, please.
Dr. Trump, I think you are spot on with your situational solution in that I've traveled the globe. I've seen the same thing. There are bathrooms that are unisex. No one's got a problem with it. Your introduction of the non-construction cost answers a big question, and I think it makes sense.
You mean to take the women's rooms, to take no construction, convert all men's rooms into unisex, and re-sign all women's rooms into children only. That's what I said.
Yes, sir. That makes perfect sense.
So then we protect our children from the potential predator. Now, you still have the issue of women being uncomfortable with men in the women's room. That's a separate issue, but you're going to have to figure out that women are pretty tough today, and they're not going to put up with any perv in there for too long. I'll tell you that. But the children who have no ability to protect themselves from predators, who we are concerned about, and I would say the immediate solution, and the one that costs almost nothing, is the one I've come up with. And I don't understand why anyone would argue with that one. Thank you for the call. 855. There's many, by the way, there's unisex bathrooms right now in most facilities that I go to. I see signs that say men, women, then one says women only, then one says men only. I've seen them all over the Bay Area right now. But I don't see any that say children only. How come they pay no attention to children in the Bay Area? Because the San Francisco area is the most anti-children-friendly area in the entire world. Children are hated in the San Francisco area because they compete with a certain minority orientation, and they don't like it. And I would say we have to protect our children across America, and that's what this argument is about. It's really not about protecting women as much, because I think women today are tough as nails and they can protect themselves. I think that we can all agree that the children are the most vulnerable to predators and the ones that need to be protected. So if you look at Cruz, and he says this about Schilling, who was fired by ESPN, is the rather obvious point that we shouldn't allow grown adult men strange alone in a bathroom with little girls. That's a point anyone's rational should understand. Okay, so Cruz makes that point, and he makes that point about adult men, strangers in a bathroom with little girls. We all agree with that. Everyone agrees with that. Cruz is right. But my answer is simple, and that is, do what I said. What do you think about that? I think it's something to talk about. Now, there are other topics that I want to get back to that I haven't even introduced yet, but we're coming almost to the end of the hour here, hour one on the Savage Nation. Tied to this is ESPN firing Curt Schilling following an anti-transgender post, which is sort of tied into this. Ben Carson. This was an interesting one. Remember we argued yesterday over the $20 bill change that the communist in the White House, the social agitator, wants to do, which is to throw Jackson off the $20 bill and replace him with a woman who fought slavery. Remember that? I read this in the LA Times this morning, and I said, this says it all. Here is a so-called professor of history and African American studies who said this. Andrew Jackson, he said, is what we used to think of as a great American hero. He stood for the white male political and economic elite with great military honor associated with them. So in other words, we should no longer honor white male military heroes. This is what it's come to under Barack, the turbulent Obama. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640. So here we are distracted by the genius in the White House arguing over a bathroom for transgendered, when the big story is that the companies that paid for Mrs. Clinton's speeches have U.S. government interests. And of all places this came out was Associated Press, which is as left-wing as they get. Even they felt the heat from the Bernie people. And here's their article. It's not just Wall Street banks. Most companies and groups that pay Democratic presidential corrupt candidate Hillary Clinton to speak between 13 and 15 have lobbied federal agencies in recent years, and more than one-third of these companies that bought her speeches are government contractors, and Associated Press reviewers found. Their interests are sprawling and would follow Clinton to the White House should she win election this fall. This is a big story. The AP's review of federal records, regulatory filings, and correspondence showed that almost all of the 82 corporations, trade associations, and other groups that paid for or sponsored the corrupt Hillary Clinton have actively sought to sway the government, lobbying, bidding for contracts, commenting on federal policy, and in some cases, contacting State Department officials or Clinton herself during a tenure as Secretary of State. She is more fittingly the president of a banana republic in the 1950s than the president of this great nation. She should be absolutely dismissed from the candidacy, and it should be Trump versus Bernie Sanders, and let America decide once and for all whether they want communism or capitalism, because the choice will be very clear. With Hillary Clinton, it's a choice between total and absolute corruption or a chance to restore America's greatness. This is the Savage Nation. All these topics and more when I return on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of order, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
So if Caitlyn Jenner were to walk into Trump Tower and want to use the bathroom, you would be fine with her using any bathroom she chooses?
That is correct.
Okay.
Different issue, also a social issue.
You know, there's a big move to create new bathrooms. Problem with that is for transgender. That would be first of all, I think that would be discriminatory in a certain way. It would be unbelievably expensive for businesses and for the country. Leave it the way it is.
And then we want, at the same time, to hear Ted Cruz. Let's hear that one now, please.
And Donald on television this morning said, gosh, he thought that men should be able to go into the girls' bathroom if they want to. Now, let me ask you, have we gone stark raving nuts? The political correctness. This is basic common sense. I'm the father of two little girls. Here is basic common sense. Grown adult men, strangers, should not be alone in a bathroom with little girls.
As I said in the first hour, I agree with Cruz on this transgender bathroom issue 100%, and I disagree with Trump on this bathroom issue 100%. Trump is wrong on this. Cruz is right on this. My solution, as the Solomon of talk radio, I think, is the best one. My solution requires no construction costs, only new signage. Convert all men's rooms into unisex for adults. Resign all women's rooms into children only. I am concerned about not only the social costs, but the economic costs to small businesses. I'm Michael Savage. What do you think? The phone number here is 855-407-2822. Let's go to Dave on WMAL, line 9. Go ahead, please.
Savage the wise, you have cut the Gordian knot. The answer to this problem really is that they're both wrong. This is not a topic for national presidential politics. This is a state issue. If North Carolina wants to have a law restricting access to the bathroom depending on your sex, they're right. And if California wants to have a law with an, you know, open door policy, they're right. And then you can decide where you want to go and who you want to deal with. I want, as a conservative, I want the federal government out of my schools, out of my school lunchrooms, out of my bathrooms, out of my gun safe. I want them out of my life. And both of those candidates should have said, this is a topic for the state to make a decision.
Well, you theoretically, you are correct. But as you well know, the whole issue of sexuality has become so hyper-political that the federal government stepped in a long time ago, affording federal anti-discrimination laws to homosexuals, and that was the beginning of this. And now, of course, we've gone from gays to transgenders, and now we have the whole issue of 0.001% of the population upsetting the entire nation with their demands. Isn't that what this is about?
Well, I'm sorry, this problem started with the Democrat Party before the Civil War. They tried to rehabilitate their reputation by saying that the Civil War was fought over states' rights. But in reality, the Democrats in the South, and to this day, try to force their laws down the throats of everybody.
Listen, I don't want to refight the Civil War. I want us to recognize that Obama is one of the most genius. He is the most brilliant dissimulator of a society ever seen on the planet. He gets away with stuff that you can never imagine. Here we are fighting over a bathroom law in North Carolina instead of focusing on the billions of dollars being stolen by the green gangsters. People would rather talk about a toilet because it's much more immediate to them than the gangsters who stole the money. And this is why they do it. They continuously throw us off with one insult after another. Yesterday he's announcing a change on the $20 bill, a $10 bill, a $5 bill. And what do we learn today? That one of the biggest green gangs goes bankrupt stealing billions of dollars. And what are we arguing over? A toilet. Not over who should go to jail. So it's all part and parcel of the genius in the White House. They're very brilliant, these guys.
But, Michael, that's my point. Trump and Cruz should both, as conservative, well, Trump's not really conservative, he's a businessman, and I like him, but Cruz is a conservative who should say, this is not what we're going to discuss. We're going to discuss what you want to discuss, I'm certainly fine with.
Well, you know, here's another issue someone wrote to me, and they said, have the Muslims come out with any statements about gender-neutral bathrooms? This is not just a child issue, but also reflects religious bigotry and injustice to both sexes. What about Muslims? Are they going to want to go into a unisex bathroom? How do they feel about transgenders going into bathrooms? We seem to hear every day what CARE thinks about this and what CARE thinks about that. What does CARE think about the transgender issue in North Carolina? Wouldn't you think they'd be on the side of the state in this one?
CARE has become so politicized. They don't represent the Muslims. They don't represent American Muslims at all.
Well, my friends, this is a big, big issue. Someone wrote this. Jenny Torres writes, Savage, your bathroom idea is not practical. Little children need their mother's assistance in the bathroom. Well, so who said they shouldn't be in there with them? I didn't say mothers shouldn't go in the bathroom with the children. And then she says, what about 14, 15, 16-year-old perverts? They would be alive in the restroom, alive, with vulnerable younger kids and no mother. No way. So people already are reacting to my solution and saying that's wrong. Well, I have a solution. And the solution is just what I said. Someone wrote this. She said, yesterday you played us an audio where college students said if you're a 60-year-old man but feel like a 6-year-old, then they are not going to argue. And it said, plus parents often accompany their children to the bathroom. And she said, just make 3 bathrooms and move on from this bread and circus. No, that's wrong. You cannot make 3 bathrooms. I told you the cost would cripple small businesses. It would destroy small businesses. The reason we are having this discussion is because the very, very smallest minority in the population is now dictating the terms of the overall larger society. And that is why we're talking about it. If you want to move on, let's move on. WJR, Nick, go ahead. Please, line 3. What's on your mind, Nick?
Hey, I just wanted to call. Believe me, I agree with you, and I agree with, you know, Cruz on his stance. I'm a Trump guy myself. But I'm a plumber, and this kind of is in my territory, my wheelhouse. The only problem I see with the solution that you have, which it would be awesome if it was that simple, but it's not, because buildings are built with occupant load. And so if I just went into a restaurant and said I'm going to make the men and women just the unisex, the problem is you'd still have construction costs because they would say, now you need to add 2 toilets into this men's room because it's all done on occupancy. So it sounds...
Wait, let me think. I said convert all men's rooms into unisex for adults. Resign all women's rooms with children only. So you're saying to convert a men's room into a unisex is not as simple as I say, because federal law requires a certain number of stalls based on the occupancy limits of the restaurant?
Exactly. So if the occupant of a building is 100 people, they take 50% and they say, okay, the men need 2 bathrooms, they need 2 toilets and a urinal. And they'll say the women, they need 3.
All right. So as part of my solution, they have to rewrite the occupancy stall requirements. That has to go with the codes have to be changed to eliminate breaking up small businesses and killing them with a third bathroom or construction costs. My answer to this is not to permit the gangsters to make more money yet off this social upheaval, because the same criminal gangsters who are making money off the green business, I can guarantee you, will shift from solar energy and shopping carts to construction and bathrooms around America. And I can guarantee you a certain senator in San Francisco whose husband is a contractor will be first in line under Barack Obama to convert the bathrooms if we don't control the costs.
But they did the same thing with ADA. So now whenever I go into a place to do a plumbing in it, not only do I have to set up a standard bathroom, but I have to set it up for ADA. So now that we have this discussion going on with transgender, it's a whole new issue. And I think you are right. I think it's sad that we're talking about it, because majority in this country rules. It used to be a day where there was a guy and there's a girl. But now we're going down this slippery slope, and I think it's a bad path.
You said it very completely, and this is an issue that is worthy of a national discussion. It is not as simple as some of us think, nor should we require a third bathroom in small businesses. It will bankrupt them. My solution, I think, is the correct one, but you brought up an issue related to it, which is federal law, state law that I didn't know about, which is that the number of stalls required is based on the occupancy. You have to change the laws along with the accommodation of converting the bathrooms to a unisex bathroom in the male, and et cetera, and reserving the others for children only. And, of course, if a small child needs a mother in there, no one said they shouldn't go in there. I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero. Stay on the line. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COI.
Pizza is the ultimate food because it can be a junk food. It can be healthy. Like, almost every Friday, I'll eat, like, a veggie pizza on wheat. Now, that may not be something you like, but I like it. You can have dessert pizza. You can do anything with pizza. It's a very versatile, universally loved food. And I like French fries.
There it is. That's the most brilliant first lady in the history of America. Gays are being tossed off roofs in Iraq, and she's talking about pizza and French fries. Little girls are being rounded up, used as sex slaves by ISIS, and she's talking about pizza. Yeah, that's America today. And here we are arguing over transgenders in a bathroom in North Carolina. Meanwhile, ISIS has thrown another gay man to his death from a rooftop. If you have the guts to see it, I linked it up from Jim Hofta on Gateway Pundit on michaelsavage.com. It's beyond comprehension. Not one word from the left. They're throwing men off roofs because they're gay. Chilling pictures show ISIS prisoner being thrown to his death from a roof after he was accused of engaging in sodomy in Iraq. The images show the captive being held over the edge of a high-rise building by a group of masked militants as a crowd, including young children, watch on from the ground. He is then pushed off the building, falling 100 feet onto the concrete below. Notorious for their gruesome methods of killing, ISIS reserves one of its most brutal for suspected homosexuals. They drop them head first or they toss them over the edge. As of last December, at least 36 men in Syria and Iraq have been killed by ISIS militants on charges of sodomy, according to the New York-based Outright Action International. The left wants to bring more refugees to America, and ISIS has vowed to infiltrate that population. How long before something like this happens in an American city? How long before, once you bring in your Syrian Muslim men who hold these insane views, go into a bathroom, and a transgender marches in, and he thinks, looks at him the wrong way, and he kills him? Who are you going to blame then? Who would you blame then? The world is falling apart, and we're worried about transgender bathrooms. Okay, my friends, if you want to talk about that, so be it. It's a talk radio show. You determine what we talk about. Corey on WMAL, what's your position on this bathroom law?
Hi, Dr. Savage. It's an honor. I just really, because I'm opposed with the transgender stuff, but I try to be fair, you know, but I just feel like if transgenders, if they feel like they want to use the opposing bathroom or whatever, so like if you're born a man and then you become a female, then I feel like you at the very least have to look like a female. And then another thing is they should have...
Wait. What do you mean look like a female? Who's going to determine whether someone looks like a female? If you looked at mixed martial arts, would you say they look like females? They look like some very tough men to me, and yet they're females.
Yeah, but it's just, it would be very disturbing for the women to see a really manly, that is, well, a man walking into a female bathroom. I think I'm pretty...
Yeah, but as long as the man has his rights supported by the federal government, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter if women are offended or gaped at. It matters that the 001% have their rights supported by the federal government. Isn't that the issue?
Well, and that's another thing, too, because I feel like, I mean, at the very least, they should have, well, documentation stating that they had their manhood taken away so they can't...
In other words, you know, you're making a facetious argument. Now you want cops in the bathroom seeing if someone really is a post-op transsexual before they're allowed to go in the women's room?
necessarily, because it's kind of like a gun law. If you're doing something,
I think we're losing control of this discussion. That is absolutely crazy, because no one's going to be able to test whether someone really is post-op transgender or not. No, it should really be just what the person feels they are. Isn't that what Obama's saying with this law? North Carolina is saying, no, we don't want people to declare their sexuality based on what they feel. They're saying it's pretty clear that if a man is a man and a woman is a woman, by biologics, a man is a man and a woman is a woman. What they feel about the sexuality is one thing, and that is protected by federal and state laws. You can't discriminate based on a person's sexuality. But now we're pushing it to a new level, aren't we? And the whole object here is not really about rights for transgenders. It's about upsetting the middle class and destroying it from within. If you study Marxism, which I've studied intimately since college days, this is all part and parcel of breaking down the, quote, bourgeoisie, piece by piece, issue by issue, societal law by societal law. The attempt here is none other than destroying the society itself, which is what Barack Hussein Obama said he would do before he left office, which is transform the United States of America. I would say that on his scorecard, he so far has a 90 to a 95. But there are many, many days and months to go before this most devious of presidents leaves us in peace. Now let's get back to Trump and Cruz, because this issue has now fallen in their laps. On this issue, I agree with Cruz 100%. I disagree with Trump 100%. But there are other issues that we should be talking about, aren't there? Or are there? WMAL Leo, go ahead, please, on the Savage Nation. What's your position?
Hey, Michael. The whole LGBT thing is just spinning me off the planet. But besides that, it's more than a social issue. It's a moral issue, and that's so... further moral decay of our whole country. I mean, we're chipping away at it, you know, little...
Well, that's the intent of the left, to create an amoral nation. Is to create an amoral nation where there are no morals whatsoever, so we can become like ancient Rome. Sex with children is next. As sure as I'm sitting here, the next one will be an assault upon the age of consent. Remember, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the most dangerous Supreme Court justice in history, had argued for a 14-year-old to be declared an adult to have sex with an adult. Did you know that? And here she is sitting on the Supreme Court all these years. That's next. Watch what comes next. Watch. Mark my words. I want to move on to some other topics on the Savage Nation. Be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
He wanted it left like it was, so if Charlotte wants to say, if you're a man and you're a sexual predator, and you say you want, you're transgender and want to go into the restroom where little girls are, go ahead. That's the position of the leading Republican candidate. I don't know. Hopefully that'll be another one of the positions he'll change. But in the meantime, we need to get common sense back in charge in America.
He's right. I said he's right. I don't alter my views to meet political needs. My views have been very consistent from the day I began in radio. Borders, language, culture. This is culture. Trump is wrong. Cruz is right. Any other questions? Because I got the answers. Now, there are other topics. And what's interesting to me is that no matter what else I brought up, Clinton's corruption, the companies that gave her these huge speaking fees have lobbied the very same government that she is going to be running. Corporate giants like GE, Verizon, Institute of Scrap Recycling Industries, Global Business Travel Association. They all paid her $200,000, $300,000 a speech. And Bernie Sanders is 100% right. Do we have Sanders talking about it last week in, Washington Square Park? Good job, Jim. I'm sorry, Robert, please play Bernie Sanders, who's right on this. Listen.
If somebody gets paid $225,000 for a speech, it must be an unbelievably extraordinary speech. And I kind of think... if that $225,000 speech was so extraordinary, she should release the transcripts and share it with all of us.
100% right, Sanders. The National Association of Realtors spent $38 million on government contracts in 2013. the same year it paid Clinton $225,000 to appear at the group's gathering in San Francisco. A group spokesman said Clinton was among former U.S. officials invited to share their experiences, but said she was not paid as part of its lobbying activities. The Biotechnology Industry Organization, which represents biotech and pharmaceutical firms, spent between $7 million and $8.5 million annually on lobbying since 08, including contacts with the State Department during Hillary's tenure on the agency's biotech discussions with foreign governments. The trade group, which hosted Clinton for $335,000 at its event in San Diego in June 2014, has won more than $425,000 in federal payments since 08 in work for the National Science Foundation and other agencies. The group did not respond to phone calls or emails for comment from AP. Oh, you want to listen to the other companies that Clinton has hosed down for money for her speeches? The financial services and investment industry accounted for $4.1 million of Clinton's earnings. Its ranks included not only Wall Street powerhouses like Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, and B of A, but also private equity and hedge funds like Kohlberg, Kravis, Roberts, and Apollo Global Management, and foreign-owned banks such as Deutsche Bank AG and the Canada Imperial Bank of Commerce. Goldman Sachs, which gave Clinton $675,000 for three speeches in 2013, and Morgan Stanley, which paid her $2.25 million for one speech the same year, both spent millions lobbying the U.S. during Clinton's term at the State Department. I can go on and on. General Electric paid her $225,000 for a speech in Boca Raton, Florida in January 2014, and it has the most extensive government portfolio. GE has spent between $15.1 million and $39.2 million annually on lobbying. The company has won nearly $50 million in government work since 08, including $1.7 million from Hillary's State Department for lab equipment and data processing during Clinton's tenure. As Secretary of State, Clinton visited a GE aviation facility in Singapore and touted the State Department's role aiding GE industrial and military deals abroad. Clinton met with GE Chairman Jeffrey Immelt once about the agency's efforts to salvage a planned business exposition in Shanghai and also talked to GE's Immelt by phone, according to her calendars. A GE spokesman said, quote, GE works closely with the government and State Department, which often advocates for U.S. exporters. Look, I can read it on and on. Oh, this is interesting. The Cardiovascular Research Foundation, a fundraising group for cutting-edge heart medicine, paid Clinton $275,000 for a speech in Washington in September 2014. What happened? That very same year, the organization joined other medical and healthcare groups in urging the Federal Drug Administration to reconsider its generic labeling rules. Foundation spokesmouth Irma Damewis said Hillary was invited as a recognized thought leader, adding that decisions on keynote speakers are made without a political agenda, sure. The National Automobile Dealers Association paid Hillary $325,000 for a convention speech in New Orleans in January 2014. That same year, the trade group spent $3.1 million lobbying federal officials on taxes, automotive and trucking issues, labor and finance. The camping group also paid for lobbying in recent years. I can read on and on. The article's astounding. I'm shocked that the Associated Press put it together. Firms that paid for Clinton speeches have U.S. government interests, by Stephen Braun. It came out today. It's on michaelsavage.com. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that one? No one wants to call on it. No matter what I have put out today, whether it's on the green gangsters bilking billions or Hillary Clinton bilking millions in payola, this is payola. If you give a speech and you get a $325,000 fee and then you do business with those people, whether directly or indirectly, that's called payola. It's illegal. Or should be, but it isn't. That's because Hillary rewrote the laws along with the other gangsters in Congress to make certain that they could never be prosecuted. Remember that came up the other day? And someone called me and said that they changed the law. I found the article. I wish I could put my hand on it. I didn't think I'd get to that today. But the fact of the matter is, I think I have it somewhere. Well, it's in here. Coffee. Should these... No. Savage Nation ideas. Sorry, death of the U.S. Marine Corps. Can't put my hand on it, but they rewrote the law so they couldn't be prosecuted for lobbying. That's your Hillary Clinton. And that's since Sanders is 100% right, which is why he's popular and won't win. End of story. But you only want to talk about toilets. No matter what I have brought up, that's what I'm trying to show you. No matter what other topic I've tried to touch on, the only calls I'm getting, no matter how we try, are about bathrooms and toilets for transgenders. So, can we switch to an open mic-to-mic moment on the Savage Nation, any topic that you're interested in? Because I think we've covered the toilet issue quite enough. And I think toilet jokes are disgusting. I'm not interested in toilet jokes. I don't get my rocks off talking about toilets. It's, frankly, it makes me sick. I personally try to avoid, on a very personal level, all public bathrooms for health reasons. I won't go near them. Frankly, unless it's an emergency, I don't go near them. I think they're cesspools. I go in and I go, I can't stand it. So I kind of wait till I go home. It's that simple. But okay, most of us can, or we're traveling with this. Now you have to use a public bathroom. And so now we have a new issue thrown at us in order to upset the middle class. The transgender bathroom issue. Cruz is right. Trump is wrong on this. My solution is the most correct. It requires little or no contractor costs, only new signage, and probably changing the laws that the gentleman raised, who was a plumber, on the issue of occupancy related to the number of stalls that have to be built. My solution is convert all men's rooms into unisex for adults and re-sign all women's rooms as to children only. And, of course, a mother can go in with a young child. No one said they couldn't. So that's it. I don't know why we have to talk about it anymore. WMAL, Joe, line 9. MAL, go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. I believe the issue is much larger than transgender bathrooms. I believe with all my heart and soul, and I'm a Bible-believing Christian, and I consider myself a Tea Party, fiscally conservative Tea Party Republican. But I honestly believe that in this day and age, we've already lost the cultural and moral war on these issues, and it's time for the Republican Party, if we ever want to win a general election again, we have to take these social issues out of our platform. I'm talking about abortion. I'm talking about gay marriage and gay rights. The bottom line is these are not political issues anymore. These are moral, social, and personal issues.
Well, you're 100% correct. So having said that, being a staunch conservative, a social conservative, as you said, so you then agree that Trump was right in saying he opposes the law?
Well, I don't know the answer, but I know this. We're probably going to have to lose a few of these small battles to win the war, to take our country back. And
well, hold on. That's been my position from the beginning. That's why I supported Trump. Of course Cruz is more conservative. I never argued to the contrary, but I said Cruz is unelectable, didn't I? From the beginning I said that was the reason I opposed him.
Agreed. Agreed. Agreed.
And I don't understand why the Cruz people don't understand my position. It's not a personal decision. It's a very strategic decision. And so you say, well, what's the point of winning it if you're not going to have a social conservative in the White House? The answer is because, to me, the issues of national defense and such are far more important, by the way, because without national defense, we'll have nothing to argue about. We'll have no nation. Trump came out for a border wall. Will he build it? I hope so. I laid awake in bed last night and said to myself, what if Trump wins? You've put your whole career on the line backing him on the issue of the wall and rebuilding the military. And what if he doesn't build the wall? What are you going to do then? You know, it's not my fault if he doesn't build it. I was hoping he would, but if he doesn't, what am I supposed to do, commit suicide? In other words, I have to take a stand somewhere. Cruz has never said what he would do to stem the flow of illegal aliens. Never. I read his own website on it. He's not clear at all. It's mushy on that issue. So who do you support, by the way, Trump or Cruz in the election?
Well, I'm a Trump supporter, and I will say this. If we're ever going to use tactics like divide and conquer against the Democrats like they use against us every election, we're going to have to take these personal social issues off the Republican platform. So,
well, you know what? Strategically, you are correct. Because I remember years ago I met people who were fiscal conservatives who said they cannot vote for a Republican for one reason only, and that was the abortion issue. It's the one issue that stumbled the Republican Party now for 20 years. You know that, don't you? That's why you're saying this. Isn't that correct?
Michael, I'm a Bible-believing Christian, and you know what? It really doesn't matter. If I live in a secular country, and they've made abortion legal, they've made homosexuality and gay marriage legal, it has no impact on me, how I live my life, and what I teach my children. So it's time for the Republican Party to get these issues off the table, start winning elections, so we could start fighting ISIS, so we could conquer the debt, so we could deal with illegal immigration, so we could put jobs back in the country. We are never going to tackle these issues unless we win general elections.
Well, you're as clear as a bell, and I like what you said at the beginning when you entered the show. You said that you're a social conservative, you're a Tea Party member, and yet you still believe what you believe, which I thought was very interesting, because I think you're a very small minority of those members of the social conservative club who would not agree with you, I don't think. Am I correct?
Well, you know, there may be a day and age when we could take our country back morally and culturally, but it's not going to happen overnight. First, we have to win elections. First, we have to put conservative Supreme Court justices in. And then we have to convince our fellow men and our fellow women that these social issues that we deeply believe in are correct. And when we...
Okay, so what you're saying... Okay, I got what you're saying. You're saying they're important, but they're deal killers for an election. Leave them alone and deal with the bigger issues such as immigration, national security, and a balanced budget, for example. And so that's why you, as a social conservative and a Christian, agree with me in supporting Trump. I think that's what you just said.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the only way we're going to be able to tackle the important issues that are facing us in our time, or we're going to lose this nation.
Do you have a copy of Government Zero yet? Because I'd like to send you one.
I do not.
Okay, then you got one on the way. Thanks for the call. That brings us to about 47 minutes after the hour. It's a very interesting change today in the show. Yesterday I was in San Francisco at KSFO Studios, and we talked about the Harriet Tubman thing. We talked about the San Francisco horror stories. We talked about how marijuana has destroyed your life. I hope we can revisit some of those topics again and get out of the bathroom stall when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
I think Harriet Tubman is fantastic. I would love to leave Andrew Jackson and see if we can maybe come up with another denomination. Maybe we do the $2 bill or we do another bill. I don't like seeing it. Yes, I think it's pure political correctness. Been on the bill for many, many years and, you know, really represented somebody that really was very important to this country. I would love to see another denomination, and that could take place. I think it would be more appropriate.
All right, well, he's right on that one. We talked about that yesterday. Now, here's Ben Carson on the Jackson replacement by Harriet Tubman. Listen to clip three.
Well, I think Andrew Jackson was a tremendous secretary. A tremendous president. Andrew Jackson was the last president who actually balanced the federal budget, where we had no national debt. So in honor of that, we kick them off with the money. I love Harriet Tubman. Right. I love what she did. But we can find another way to honor her. Maybe a $2 bill.
Okay, so there are some opinions on that one from yesterday. It's a big one. I'm not going to talk about what killed Prince. I could care less. A rock and roll singer is found dead in an elevator, and I have to imagine what causes death? I mean, it would take a forensic genius to figure this one out. I mean, you give yourself three guesses and they're all the same. Maybe he had a heart attack. Maybe he died from chemtrails, from inhaling chemtrails in the studios in which he worked. The chemtrails seeped in through the chimneys. Why are we talking about this? Why is this an issue? Why is the death of an entertainer more important than the death of a nation? I'm talking to myself. That's all. But in the next hour, I'll talk with you. My solution on the transgender bathroom issue, I think, is the best. I am the Solomon of talk radio. I'm looking at construction costs, a way to put it behind us. Convert all men's rooms into unisex for adults. Resign all women's rooms into children only. Costs almost nothing. Everybody wins. But don't call me about it, please. Can we get out of the toilet and go into the world, the bigger world, on the Savage Nation?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. I think we should open this hour by playing Rihanna. Or if you want, get something by his name, Prince. I could care less. Prince died. Sorry, he died. And that's a news story. I mean, a musician died. All right, so everyone dies. Why is that like earth-shattering now? Prince died in an elevator. The contrails must have done it. He opposed contrails. He was sure the government was poisoning the atmosphere with contrails, part of that idiocy that I've heard before. And I had no idea I was being crop-dusted by Boeing 757s as they flew overhead. I had no idea that the CIA was crop-dusting us with LSD and mescaline particles to drive us crazy. But okay. I mean, you can believe anything. If you can believe Hillary Clinton is clean and pure, go ahead. If you can believe Bernie Sanders is not a lifetime communist socialist, be my guest. That's all. There we go. It is Thursday. Aren't there other topics on your mind?
No.
Toilet. Here's a little headline. It'll tie right in. I pick up the newspaper in a giveaway stand, the Examiner, San Francisco Examiner. And in the most corrupt city in America, just seething in green gangsters, here's the headline. New buildings to require rooftop solar panels. SF leads state as first large city to mandate renewable energy. Now, that's laughable, as you well know, because the gangsters are in the rooftop solar panel business. Who owns it? Are you kidding me? Are you joking? Who owns it? You have to look too far to see why they put on rooftop panels? The legislation introduced by Supervisor Scott Weiner builds on San Francisco's environmental efforts, like the imminent launch of a renewable energy program known as Clean Power SF later this year. How much money is being smeared back and forth is anyone's guess. But since we don't have a U.S. attorney, we'll never find out. So now solar panels. Listen, I'm all for clean energy. Let me be very clear. I hate pollution. My whole life I've run away from pollution. I ran out of New York years ago because I hated the air. When I was living in New York, I left because incinerators in apartment buildings used to burn their garbage and you'd see black clouds of pollution coming out of the apartment buildings. So don't think I'm into pollution. I hate it. My whole life has been spent running away from it. I have a crazy neighbor who burns fireplaces and has a peace sign on their front door. No matter how I've tried to talk to them, stop with the fireplaces, you're polluting the neighborhood, they give me the middle finger because they're Obama supporters. And they're good liberals, therefore they can't be polluting. Even though they're polluting, they can't be polluting, by definition. This is what I'm talking about, the world I live in. So now we're arguing over toilets for transgenders and where Cruz stands and where Trump stands. And I said Cruz was right, Trump was wrong. And I really want to move past it. Because the issue of the toilets for transgenders, that has a nice ring to it, toilets for transgenders, is almost like a Christmas song of some kind, is really the issue of zero culture in government zero. I don't think I'm new to this discussion. Zero culture, page 135 of government zero. America's culture has gone from first world to third world status. It's swimming in a mire of sex, drugs, and base entertainment, class envy, entitlement, and apathy. Welcome to the new progressive Islamist America. Today, the average American high school senior has lived his whole life being told that businessmen are evil, minorities are viciously persecuted in America, Islam is the religion of peace, and Christianity and Judaism are the religions of white privilege, ignorance, and intolerance. He is taught to loathe himself if he is white and male, or to consider him her or herself persecuted if a minority or female, whether it's true or not. Kids haven't just learned this in school. It's reaffirmed in films, on television, in the music they listen to, and by the so-called news media. From the moment children begin perceiving the world around them, they are inundated with progressivism. I doubt most parents realize it. They've been fully indoctrinated themselves. I'm not blaming this all on Obama or even government in general. Certainly poor leadership plays a part. But there is a cause and effect dimension to the decline of our culture. A corrupt government contributes to the corruption of the people. But the opposite is also true. You don't get the policymakers we have now unless the people themselves are already corrupted. It's very much a vicious circle. Remember, politicians, entertainers, and media peddle envy politics, trashy entertainment, junk science, and substandard journalism only because there is a demand for it. Some of the blame for Government Zero rests squarely on the people's shoulders. That's the opening to the chapter in Zero Culture in Government Zero. So then I go into Hollywood's war on American culture. That's an old story, but I give examples. Jeffrey Katzenberg, David Geffen, living a life of luxury from their for-profit film and music ventures, while raising millions for leftist politicians who attack everyone else trying to make an honest living. I wrote, we'll have to see if Geffen can beat out Weinstein and Penn for Hypocrite of the Year. After raising money for Bill Clinton in the 1990s, he had a falling out with him when Clinton refused to pardon Leonard Peltier. Geffen indirectly called for the Clintons' liars in a 2007 interview when he was backing Obama. He called Hillary Clinton an incredibly polarized... Anyway, you get the picture. Liberal hypocrisy. So we move on. The next major subsection in Zero Culture is the false history of the McCarthy era, which I will leave to another time. Then we go to rotten role models. Then we go to a culture of envy. I'm trying to find something you may want to hear about. And moving along, I'll know what you want to hear about. Zero reality on race. Would you like me to do that one? Yeah, let me do zero reality on race. That's part of the debasement of the culture. And then I conclude the chapter with what are Western values post-Obama? Let me read that one. Western civilization reached its apex in the United States of America, the freest, most prosperous, and most powerful nation in the history of the world. That civilization was built upon principles derived from English common law and tradition, Judeo-Christian morality, and the uniquely American principles of individualism and self-reliance. Well, what are Western values today? Shooting junk at night and taking a coffee at them in the morning. Sleeping with 15 people at night and doing an herbal bath cleansing routine the next day. Are those our values now? Is this why everyone is into detoxing? Because they know their souls are polluted? Here we are 50 years after the 1960s, when we were told to eliminate all repression, to let it all hang out. If it feels good, do it. Why don't we do it in the road? Can anyone really say that has worked out well? We hear a lot about how repressed American society was before the 1960s, but not much about how much more well-ordered and civilized it might have been. John Adams famously said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. Well, he was right. There has always been a protection against any federal government mandated religion in this country, as there should be. But religion, or some equivalent moral set of principles, is a responsibility that goes along with freedom. We can see the consequences of abandoning that responsibility all around us. Americans barely notice as a rogue president runs roughshod over the Constitution, takes over the health care system, floods the country with illegal aliens, and alienates our allies overseas. As long as the beer is flowing, football is available three nights a week, and porn is available 24/7, they'll stay fat, dumb, and happy. One would be hard-pressed to answer whether the United States is still a land of opportunity or a land of dependency. 1 in 8 Americans are receiving food stamp assistance. Over 1/3 of Americans have government-subsidized health insurance. We have two opposing forces fighting in the world right now. We have the extremely religious Muslim fanatics who interpret their religion from a 9th-century point of view and are willing to kill for it. They'll kill boys for watching soccer, believing that watching a soccer game is the first step on a slippery slope to becoming transgendered. That is how insane these fanatics are. The West is exactly the opposite. It has no values left. The left destroyed the church. They've destroyed all semblance of religion and morality. They've destroyed the American principles of private property, free enterprise, self-reliance, and personal responsibility. They've replaced them with atheism, hedonism, dependency, and political correctness. Man in the West today has no soul. So don't think I am new to this discussion, my friends. I have written about it in numerous books, and I think that the sum total of all of my opinions can be read in Government Zero. And I have solutions as well. The next chapter after that is Zero Immigration and 40 Solutions to Save America. WCJW in Tennessee. Erica, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I just wanted to tell you for, I wanted to thank you for years of listening to you, which has changed my life and clarified my thinking. You put things so succinctly that it's so easy to see. I had a happening today with a young man, 20 years old, who said Andrew Jackson had slavery. Well, and he was a beautiful young man. But we have no culture. They've taken everything away. And
well, does he also know Andrew Jackson was a great war hero? Did he not learn that in school?
No, he didn't learn that. I said
right.
That. And
right. So the perverted left-wing deviants who have stolen our children from us put hate in their minds about anything white, Christian, and male.
And they've destroyed masculinity.
You know, I could almost go berserk right now and start smashing things here with my microphone. When I watch World War II documentaries and I see the fields of white men dead on the beaches and dead in the mountains, I want to reach out and grab someone and strangle them when they put down the white race. When I see the legions of the dead who freed the slaves who were white, I want to reach out and strangle somebody through the screen. And I hate the educational establishment for having done this to our children. They have stolen the heritage from them. They've stolen the very foundations of life from them. Can we ever get it back, whether it be Trump or Cruz? I really doubt it. I think it's too far gone. I think it's though we're on the rear deck of the Titanic, and most of the ship is already underwater some days. And some days I think that we can right the ship that's sinking. But when we have a mad captain in the wheelhouse who has not only tried to avoid the icebergs, but steered straight into the icebergs, and is gleefully cheering as the ship goes down, what chance do we have if there's not a voice of opposition within Congress right now? I know I took the breath out of the conversation, but I thank you for the call. That opens up a line at 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold. All right, here are some of the news headlines the afternoon. Are you ready for this one? Target's transgender restroom policy has already led to cases of peeping Toms. We don't have to wait to see what will happen. It's already happened. Michael Cantrell of Young Conservatives reports. Are you ready? He writes this. It's not clear when this became official policy, but one can assume it started in 2014 when the popular retailer declared their support for same-sex marriage, which was 4 years after their then-CEO became a target of the activist left mob. After it was discovered, the company contributed $150,000 to a politician who opposed gay marriage. Target has been atoning for that transgression ever since, and are now back in the good graces of liberal LGBT leaders. Well, their Wednesday announcement was no exception. But the ugly thing about this not new policy is that it may have already led to the victimization of women and children, they write. A simple Google search provides dozens of cases of peeping Toms arrested at Target stores across the country for taking pictures and or videos of women and children in various states of undress in Target's fitting rooms and bathrooms. Here are some examples. March 2014, Rhode Island. Police find more Target upskirting videos from Rhode Island man. September 2014, Ohio. Cleves man charged with peeping at boy in Weston Hills Target bathroom. Repeat offender. November 2014, South Carolina. Anderson Police Department, Peeping Tom took pics of people in Target bathroom. November 2014, California, Target employee arrested, allegedly photographed woman in dressing room. Torres was convicted of a similar crime last year. February 2015, Hawaii, Kona, Peeping Tom sentenced, peeped on a woman in a Target restroom. March 2015, Pennsylvania, man admitted secretly recording women in Target dressing rooms. April 2015, Missouri, police peeping Tom caught filming women in Brentwood Target dressing rooms. April 2015, Oklahoma. Woman chases down Peeping Tom from Target dressing room. August 2015, Maryland. Kingsville man held in suspected Bel Air Peeping Tom incident at Target. April 2016, Ohio. Miami Township Target Peeping Tom pleads guilty. So, you see, we don't have to argue over whether it will happen. It is happening. It's been happening for quite a while at Target bathrooms, which were so ahead of the curve that it gave people the opportunity to not be discriminated against, no matter what their orientation was. Here are some of the other headlines. Your peripatetic president has arrived in London for a three-day visit. And, of course, he's accompanied by the First Lady. We don't know if the children are with him and the mother-in-law, but we could only assume, well, hey, why not? It's just as easy to take five as it is to take two. So he's in London. They'll include dining with the royal family and talks with British Prime Minister David Cameron, etc., and so on. The president will be joined in London by Michelle Obama, and they'll have a lunch Friday with Queen E2, a day after her 90th birthday. They'll also attend a dinner hosted by Prince William, his wife Kate, and Prince Harry at Kensington Palace. Now, what is Obama doing there? He's being a community organizer. He's going to speak out in opposition of Britain's exit from the European Union as he meets with Cameron on Friday. Barack Obama, the community organizer's intervention in the so-called Brexit debate, has already sparked criticism from some who say he's meddling in Britain's business. Hey, if he can meddle in America's business, and in Israel's business, and in France's business, and in Saudi Arabia's business, and Russia's business, why can't he meddle in Britain's business as well? Here's another one for all of you active duty soldiers and Marines and airmen. Manpower challenge, U.S. Army sets new priority. Not defeat ISIS, mitigate climate change. This comes to us from Rowan Scarborough, The Washington Times. The U.S. Army on Thursday pledged to honor Earth Day by reasserting its pledge to address the implications of climate change and assess associated risks to national security. In a special message to soldiers, the Army, which faces deep cuts in the ranks of active duty soldiers, said it is focused on the role the land plays in ensuring the Army remains ready and resilient. Here's the punchline. The new Army, under the psychopath who is running it, urges that soldiers celebrate Earth Day on Friday. The Army also made Earth Day its focus of the day. As our Army celebrates Earth Day 2016, please join us in protecting the environment. Ladies and gentlemen, if it got more insane than this, which it will over the next few months, only I can still laugh at it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-728.
I woke up this morning and I saw that one of the most gigantic solar power companies declared bankruptcy. It's called Sun Edison. And I said, oh, I can't believe my eyes. Two big White House green cronies unite. First Wind scored over $700 million of stimulus funds, now being acquired by Sun Edison. That's an old story that I put on my website from January 2015, from one of the best websites around called The Green Corruption. But it just got so much worse today that you ought to almost put your head in your hands and cry how they don't go to jail. But then you understand that Obama is the most criminal man in the history of the presidency. He is the man behind it all, and I'm going to prove it to you. I don't mean the money goes in his hands. He doesn't need the money. All of his supporters, his bundlers, his cronies, the entire Democrat machine is living off stolen green energy money. And the article that you have to read is the one on my website, because you're going to read that, okay, yeah, that one went bankrupt. What else is new? Well, no, no, that's not the end of the story. That's the beginning of the story. Because if you read this article, you'll find out who runs Sun Edison. Your hair will stand up. And it's all in this article. I'll read you some of the names. Because the number of green energy bankruptcies and failures is now astonishingly near the $100 billion mark. Where do you think that money went? Take a look at the mansions on Pacific Heights. Take a look at the mansions in Palm Beach. Take a look at the condos being bought in Miami under front companies. Take a look at the condominiums in Manhattan being bought by front companies. And you'll find out where the green gangsters are putting their money. They're not coming from South America. They don't have to come from South America. So who are these corrupt green cronies? Well, those with access and influence to Barack Obama. If you read this article, there is D.E. Shaw and Company. And who was that? Larry Summers. Remember the name? Madison Dearborn Partners in Rahm Emanuel. Oh, Rahm Emanuel? As well as Larry Raske and Vice President Joe Biden. Did you know that Joe Biden had his fingers in this? Son Edison is tied to Tony Podesta and other high-powered lobbyists. What does this mean to you? What they write is this. What is key here is that American taxpayers have been propping up First Wind since 09, which was their plan all along. Secure taxpayer money and then go public. This included a Department of Energy stimulus loan worth $117 million. Buys a lot of furniture on Pacific Heights. As well as over $661 million of free taxpayer cash from the 1603 grant program. Buys a lot of condominiums in Miami. And if you are actually interested in the corruption, going all the way back to the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, if you are interested in the corruption amongst the green gangsters, I direct you to the top of the MichaelSavage.com website so you can study for yourself the names of the criminals involved in the green gangs. I have called them green gangsters from the beginning. But if we had a president who was straight, this wouldn't be happening. But because we have a twisted, corrupt president, you have the cronies who put him in power cashing in like you could never believe before. Peter Schweitzer, in his 2011 bombshell book, Throw Them All Out, talked all about the wind scams, the sun scams, and today it's come home to roost. Why do I say today it's come home to roost? Because one of the biggest ones of them, one of them filed for bankruptcy. And the name of the company that you shouldn't forget is Sun Edison. It filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy just today. But the bottom line of that story is that this company recently had a market value at nearly $10 billion. That was in July. Solar energy company Sun Edison Inc. on Thursday said it filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, a dramatic move for a company whose market value stood at nearly $10 billion in July. They had borrowed heavily to buy up wind and solar developers, again, smaller companies owned by cronies of Obama, and then they accumulated a pile of debt, and now they just declared that they went bankrupt. This is 2008 all over again. But instead of the real estate bubble collapsing, it's the green gangsters collapsing their bubbles, which will have an effect upon all of us as sure as I'm sitting here. You'll look into big wind. You'll see about the bankruptcies. You'll see the people's names. And they write this. Also consider the words of Obama's buddy, billionaire Warren Buffett, last year. And he said this. I will do anything that is basically covered by the law to reduce Berkshire's tax rate. For example, on wind energy, we get a tax credit if we build a lot of wind farms. That's the only reason to build them. They don't make sense without the tax credit. Now, the wind farms, as you know, are killing endangered bird species. Yes, we talked about animals yesterday. Millions of them are being killed by these windmills. But what's the difference? If you say you're for animals, that's what matters, right? Well, you'll see about the $117 million loan guarantee that helped build in Hawaii on the island of Oahu, the Kahuku Wind Power Project. You'll find out who the people are who cashed in on the Kahuku Wind Power Project. You'll see about the Kaiwa'olaf Wind. You'll see who's behind Stetson Wind, the Bull Hill Wind Power, the Cohocton Wind Power. You'll see who's behind the Milford Wind Power, Sheffield Wind, Palouse Wind. My friends, you will see the other names. Rowlands Wind Farm in Maine, $53 million grants from the federal program. Dutch Hill Wind Farm in New York, $22 million scammed out of the federal program. Steel Winds 2 Wind Farm in New York, $12 million scammed from federal tax funds. That's just the beginning. Who are the First Wind political cronies? Larry Summers. Remember him? I think some of you know who Larry Summers is. Well, you can look it all up for yourself, and you will see what we're talking about. And you will see that the Obama White House has been infiltrated by the green gangsters in a way you could never, ever imagine. By the way, old Larry Summers is also a distinguished senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, a progressive gang group, which is the dark driving force behind the president's massive scam, the green energy scam. It's all in this article. You can't omit it. I don't care whether you're for Bernie or you're for Trump. These people need to be called before a congressional hearing, and they need to be found out, and they need to be tried, and the money needs to be recovered, period. You think it'll ever happen? I doubt it. Now let's go back to the predators in the bathrooms. Cruz slams Trump over transgender bathroom law opposition. I agree with Cruz 100%. On this issue, Cruz is 100% correct. On this issue, Trump is 100% incorrect. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Because earlier today, Trump came out and said that North Carolina should not have passed a law directing transgender people to use the bathroom that matches the gender on their birth certificate. Trump is 100% wrong. Cruz supports the North Carolina measure, as I have and as I do. And I ask you what you think about this. Which side of this are you on? I mean, you may be a Trump supporter and say he made a mistake. People do make mistakes. I agree with Ted Cruz on this issue. Well, how hard is it to figure that one out? I've supported this law before. I've argued in favor of this law before. Because we all know that there are people who fake being transgender just to become, to get into a bathroom of the opposite sex. That's a given. Ask the cops about it. But no, I don't think you get it yet. I think the problem here is that people don't think at all. You're going to get the same on the Cruz side. I see it with the hatred from the Cruz bots for anyone who supports Trump. I see the hatred coming from the Trump bots against anyone who supports Cruz. It's not the answer to the problem. The answer is to think these issues through. And again, I will throw out my Solomon-esque solution to this social issue. Requires no contracting costs, only new signage. Convert all men's rooms into unisex for adults. That may create problems, it may not. But you're going to protect your children. And this argument now is coming down to children, little girls, right? And so, convert all women's rooms into children only. What is wrong with my idea? Is there anyone who sees my idea as irrational? I think it's Solomon-esque. So then we protect our children from the potential predator. Now, you still have the issue of women being uncomfortable with men in the women's room. That's a separate issue, but you're going to have to figure out that women are pretty tough today, and they're not going to put up with any perv in there for too long. I'll tell you that. But it's the children who have no ability to protect themselves from predators, who we are concerned about. And I would say the immediate solution, and the one that costs almost nothing, is the one I've come up with. And I don't understand why anyone would argue with that one. By the way, there's unisex bathrooms right now in most bathrooms, in most facilities that I go to. I see signs that say men, women, then one says women only, then one says men only. I've seen them all over the Bay Area right now. But I don't see any that say children only. How come they pay no attention to children in the Bay Area? Because the San Francisco area is the most anti-children friendly area in the entire world. Children are hated in the San Francisco area because they compete with a certain minority orientation and they don't like it. And I would say we have to protect our children across America, and that's what this argument is about. It's not about protecting women as much, because I think women today are tough as nails and they can protect themselves. I think that we can all agree that the children are the most vulnerable to predators and the ones that need to be protected. So if you look at Cruz, and he says this about Schilling, who was fired by ESPN, is the rather obvious point that we shouldn't allow grown adult men, strangers alone in a bathroom with little girls. That's a point anyone's rational should understand. Okay, so Cruz makes that point, and he makes that point about adult men, strangers in a bathroom with little girls. We all agree with that. Everyone agrees with that. Cruz is right. But my answer is simple, and that is, do what I said. What do you think about that? On this issue, Cruz is correct. That's the beauty of a primary campaign, is that we get to hear all sides of an opinion. Do you expect every opinion of your candidate to be one you agree with? If so, I think that you really ought to reevaluate your candidate and your positions. Because no candidate, going back to something I've said for months now, no candidate is going to give us 100% of what we want. Ever. Never. That goes for those of you who support Cruz. That goes for those of you who support Trump. I have told you that Trump will give us 60% of what we want. But we're liable to get 100% of what we want on the big issues like rebuilding the Defense Department, restricting the amount of money going to these corrupt green energy companies, controlling HHS's budget, building the wall with Mexico. Now, if Trump becomes president and doesn't build the wall, you'll know it's all over. This was his signature promise. We have to accept him on his word. And if he doesn't build the wall, what are you going to do about it then? I'm going to say we have, what, another Obama in office? They're all liars. It could happen. I'm a realist. It could happen. Given the world we live in, anything is possible. Do you expect anything from a politician? And I want to tell you something that's very important for you to know. Just because I agree with Ted Cruz on this and disagree with Donald Trump on this means very little in terms of my overall support for Donald Trump in the overall picture of things. But I'm not going to sit here and say that anything Donald Trump says or does is God speaking. And something about that should transmit itself to you Cruz supporters. Do you think everything that Cruz stands for is excellent? If so, reevaluate that. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2600. Welcome back to the Savage Nation, which comes live out of San Francisco, and tourism is going through the roof here, according to the San Francisco Travel Association. San Francisco had 24.6 million visitors last year, including more than 18 million leisure travelers. And the boom right now is in hotel construction. People seem to love this city as tourists, which is nice, a great city. But, you know, there are a few things you don't read about, and I figured I should read these to you. The homeless here are a sacred cow. If a homeless person comes up to you and insults you and your wife, don't report it to the police because you'll be arrested. Yeah, no, that's the city you're living in. If you see a homeless man dropping his drawers and defecating in front of you, don't call the police because you'll be arrested for, I don't know what it will be called, but some kind of ism. But you'll be hauled away if you report that you found it offensive to see a human being defecating in the street. Because these are San Francisco values under Nancy Pelosi. Here's a case in point. What are you playing? Flower in My Hair? Let me hear it. Louder. I already got the picture. Very funny. Homeless man found not guilty of assault. Listen to this story. Homeless can be guilty of no crime in the city, incidentally. Even if they assault you, they're not guilty. Because they are the sacred cows. A homeless man was acquitted by a San Francisco jury of attacking a Mission District store clerk with a machete. A decision, defense attorney said, came after the defendant spent 4 months in jail because he couldn't raise the $90,000 bail. The so-called Superior Court jury deliberated one day before finding Sergio Ribeiro not guilty on Thursday of felony assault with a deadly weapon. He was immediately freed from jail.
You're listening to Rush Limbaugh. Coming up at noon.
He got a public defender. They picked the jury very carefully. And they said, no, he's not guilty. The incident dates back to December 2nd when Ribeiro had a run-in with one of the clerks at Feeder's Market, a store near the 16th Street BART station. He was a homeless bum known for years as a troublemaker. So they hired a new clerk before the incident, and he didn't know who the guy was, and the homeless guy didn't like him very much. The night of the attack, the alleged attack, the homeless bum went to the store around 8 p.m., but was told to leave because the clerk believed the homeless man was going to cause problems. Can you imagine that? Imagining a filthy, stinking homeless man is going to cause a problem in a grocery store? What's wrong with that man? Well, anyway, the bum argued a bit before heading outside, and the clerk told him to take his shopping cart and go away. Well, they said the clerk initially told him that Ribeiro tried to kill him, taking a machete out of his cart and swinging it at him. The employee told officers that Ribeiro missed him, but struck the door with the machete. Well, the public defender, who's a known left-wing fanatic, twisted the truth, in my opinion, and said that the employee who claimed Ribeiro tried to kill him really was lying, that the homeless man was totally innocent as can be. And so, deputy public defender, Hien Ngoc Nguyen, sorry if I can't pronounce my Vietnamese names, it's a matter of cultural ignorance, I'm sure. But Deputy Public Defender Hien Ngoc Nguyen, Ribeiro's attorney, said it was apparent the clerks were hiding the surveillance video from police and wouldn't give it over to the police. And so they released him from prison, and no doubt he will now sue the owner of this little grocery store. So as I say, if you come to San Francisco with a flower in your hair and you see a homeless bum waving a machete around, consider it part of the local culture and the local color. Think of it as San Francisco values. And, of course, don't report it to the police because, although they would like to arrest the man, they know better given the psychotic nature of the city by the bay. So if you think that North Carolina has problems with the transgender bathroom issue, I would suggest that you visit San Francisco, where everything goes, everything is tolerated, except love of country and flag, which is the biggest crime a man can possibly commit. Anyone who believes in borders, language, and culture is public enemy number one. Someone to be shunned and banished by the very progressive individuals who run this beautiful, beautiful city.